Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, my oh my, Dave, we have an exciting program for our listeners today. Spiritual warfare. Boy, isn't that a wild-sounding subject, David?
A lot of people, they worry about that subject.
Well, it is, and that's why I thought we should talk about it. Because, you know, the devil is nipping at us constantly, and we have to collectively decide how that we're going to combat these kind of issues and problems. Spiritual warfare. My, oh my, you know, before you enter a battle, you must find out who your true enemy is. And with us as Christians, our true enemy is the devil. It's Satan. It's Lucifer. Because your adversary is the devil, he's like the roaring lion is walking about in the he seeks whom he may devour. That's right out of the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says just that. So the devil is always looking for our weaknesses. He's looking for a way to get into our lives. And we as Christians have to combat that subject. Let's face it, the devil is an ex-employee of heaven. You know, he's a fallen angel. Remember studying all that? I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. From Luke 10, verse 18 says just that. Satan's time is limited, so his efforts are intensified. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he has but a short time. That's from Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. The devil has a limited amount of resources. Even his power to tempt you is limited. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you can handle. Make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it all. That's written read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You'll find that those kind of words. What is the nature of this brutal enemy? Well, Satan is quite aware of God's unusual caring and protection of us, each one of us. Satan reacts with unbridled resentment towards us. He's trying to defeat us. And he has lots of ways to do that. Satan is deceptive. He's cunning. He's manipulative. He's the father of all lies. Jesus said, speaking of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. There is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of it. I read that from John chapter 8, verse 44. So if Satan opposes you, what can you do? Satan opposes you because you are a potential source of pleasure for God. For thou hast cast all things, and for thy pleasure they are, were, and were created. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. You see, Satan's real enemy is God. But because he is powerless against God, he attacks that which is closest to the heart of God. You know who that is? That's you and me, baby. That's right. Satan's main purpose of warfare is to pin God's heart and to insult him or to infuriate his purpose in your life. Satan wants you to grieve God's heart by doubting God's integrity. The devil wants to prevent the arrival of any miracle that would bring glory to God. Satan aims to paralyze your planning or abort your dreams or destroy your hopes. Now, what kind of a person would really want to do that? Well, Satan is attempting to do that to us continuously. Well, we have to develop some weapons against him. What kind? Well, what does Satan do to us that we can't fight back? Well, he delays our actions. Satan tries to thwart or abort our the arrival of our miracles, our dreams. He knows that a delay can weaken your dream to keep reaching. Satan can give you deceit. Satan is a master of deception and errors. He knows that if he can infiltrate a generation through erroneous teaching, he can destroy millions of lives. One single falsehood from the mouth of an articulate speaker can derail the dreams of millions. We know that can happen. About distractions, broken focus is the goal of all satanic attacks. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. It says that in Proverbs chapter 4. You see, your energy and time are too precious to waste on unproductive friendships, unworthy criticism, or other distractive interest that can create disappointments. Oh, that's a big thing that the devil will throw in front of you, any kind of a disappointment with yourself or with others, any kind of disappointment. Refuse to replay the guilt of previous mistakes, nor become preoccupied with past losses. Don't magnify the weaknesses of other people. So don't allow those disappointments to take over. Maybe people around you think of you as a failure, and maybe you even agree with them. But the truth of the matter is, God created you to win. You are a champion. You are going to give in to Satan and fail? Or will you trust God to be a winner? You know, the decision is yours. David, I've talked a lot about the devil and how he can step into your life. You have some thoughts on that subject? Have you seen Satan at work in the lives of yourself or perhaps more likely those around you?
I think there are days in your life and in your weeks that are more prominent for devil attacks than other areas. Some weeks you're able to cope with him and push him aside. There's other weeks when he come on strong and you just wonder, what season are you in right now? When you become physically exhausted, that's one of the big times when Satan really attacks. You're down. You want to go to bed and call it a day and forget it, cover up your ears and your head and sleep on. And it's people who travel a lot, travel and are wondering how they're going to get through. This month they got 20,000 miles to go. Look at the truckers who cross America. They take 4 or 5 days to get across, pick up their load, and 4 or 5 days come back. You know, when you're done with that, you're
done.
Exhausted. When you face a major decision, that's another time when Satan really jumps in. You trying to do something major in your life, and all of a sudden, you just say, wow, the Lord is good. If we wait for him to help us, sometimes we don't have any patience. God doesn't come on the scene quick enough for us. So when you're young and you're beginning to grow a family, start a family, the birth of a child is a really important part of your life. Judy and I had 3 children in the first 5 years of our marriage. Mm-hmm. We didn't even know what we were doing. We could have had a dozen and stopped and finally said, hey, what happened to us? That's what we did. We stopped and said, how did we ever get 3 kids in 5 years? And those were important days. 5 years, and Judy was taking care of 3 kids by herself, and I was running the world. Those things are important. And as you care for your children in a very special way, somebody has to stay at home and take care of the kids. Mm-hmm. If dad's not going to make the living, then he needs to stay home and take care of the children. If mama's going to be home, then she needs to take care of her child. When you have your children, they are destined to become what kind of a leader? You make up all of that your children are going to be.
That's right.
And when you get old and your children are grown and their grandchildren come along and your great-grandchildren come along, man, if you've done your job, you're happy.
That's right.
If you haven't, you're going to be frustrated with life and say, man, nothing goes right for us. And I'm glad that maybe I'm on the right side. Judy and I took great pains to raise our kids, and now we smile as we walk through life.
That's the difference between being a godly parent and a parent that allows the devil to tear away at you, at your life. You've done well. You have three great daughters, and your grandchildren are wonderful people. In fact, you've had some of them on the air right here in the studio, and they are magnificent people. That tells us that you have, in fact, kept Satan out of their lives and out of your life. You are to be commended. It takes patience and it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you remember, Moses, how long did it take him to come around? How about even Jesus? It took him, 30 years to prepare for his ministry. It took patience. So you were correct in what you're saying, David. Other thoughts you'd like to share?
I'd like to talk about the weapons that God uses to do all that.
Oh, well, that's a good idea.
He doesn't say, hey, yeah, go ahead and here's your kids. I hope you raise them right. No. God has some effective weapons for our battle with that kind of a life. Zechariah, in the 4th chapter, says, it's not by might, it's nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Did you ever raise your kids and speak the word of the Lord to them?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's what we have to do.
I mean, you have to plan a little bit ahead of that.
That's right.
If you're home today and you're trying to worry about supper, what am I going to do about supper? Will they like what I'm fixing? Will the mashed potatoes be right? Hey, why don't we ever think about what are we going to talk about? That might be more important than the food we eat.
That's exactly right.
And those are some of the weapons that God gives us. We have to know and speak the word. We have to have conversations that are beneficial to everyone in the family. And we got to take authority over the devil. We got to tell the devil to get out of our lives. People don't know how to do that. They don't have any encouragement from their life toward things that they battle against. And maybe today you and me, Giff, we can just help those who are anticipating the family coming home again today. It's what is it, Monday? It's Wednesday or Thursday?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday already.
But you're right. We are to be their encouragers, Dave, and that's what you're leading to here. We have to be the encouragers to help these people to battle against the Satan's powers and all of those temptations that are before us. And you're correct. We have to prepare ourselves mentally as well as physically. How about the three men who's going into the furnace and they said, hey, our God will deliver us. And you know something that happened? That's right out of Daniel. Remember studying that in Daniel? That's in the 3rd chapter, I believe.
Well, that's a big story.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's the same. That's like you're saying, your conversation should reflect the mentality of a hero, of a winner, of a conqueror over the sins and evil that we are possessed. David, you're a very wise person to understand all of that. You must clothe yourself in spiritual armor each morning in prayer. Take it unto the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil days and having done all to stand. I just read that from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. So in other words, start off the day with a prayer and fight off evil from the get-go. From the beginning, if we do that every day, you are preparing yourself as an effective weapon against the evil that might be around you.
And, you know, we're coming to the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are already beginning to think about something that's really important, and it happens every January. At least in our church it does. We have a 21-day fast that we do that gives us power in our spirit. And we pray and fast. When December 1 came, I said to myself, oh, David, another 30 days you're going to be asking to join the whole church in fasting and praying about your family, about your job, about the church, about the things of life.
Yeah.
And fasting, I mean, even worldly people that don't even go to church, they fast because it's good for their body. But I never considered that. I always considered that joining the church to be a person that knew how to fast and pray, it would be important for my children to understand that. Our children fast and pray still to this day. And our grandchildren, they already know what that is. They know that, hey, we got to fast something this week. And it helps the family.
Yeah.
Well, you put the family on fast and you watch people reach for something to drink or something to eat. We're fasting today.
Yeah, I remember we did that here at the radio station a few years ago, right along with your church. I remember it because I failed miserably. We were to go 21 days without food, except for soup. Wasn't that the deal?
Yeah,
we were allowed to have soup, and I didn't make it the whole 21 days. I failed. It's embarrassing. I should admit it, I guess. But the devil, I guess, got to me. I didn't. But that's really difficult. It sounds like, well, why can't you do that?
Especially, it's hard.
It's hard.
Well, I bet
it's,
you.
Yeah.
The church world is far from where they should be with fasting.
I know.
You know about Jonathan Shuttlesworth,
the great preacher. Yes,
I
know him.
Who has great results in his meetings. He is a man who promotes fasting. He came to our church to have a two-week meeting, and he was on a 40-day fast.
Wow.
And I mean, when he goes on a fast, he goes on a fast.
I believe it because he's very slender.
And when you, he looked like he was going to. In fact, at the end of the 40-day fast, he was sitting down on the platform to finish his message. He was so weak.
Oh, my.
And but he still hung in there. And
he didn't eat anything at all? Or would he have soup? Or what was his fasting?
I'm not sure. I never took the time to ask him.
40 days with nothing at all would be a killer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you got to
have to have something.
You got to have something that sustains you.
Yeah, maybe he had just a soup.
I can hear people saying to us all over the our area, you guys are talking about the wrong thing. I'm not fasting. I don't need that.
Yeah.
But somebody has to tell you
the
truth.
That's
and if
exactly
God is
right.
giving us this few minutes on the air and you turn the dial our way, then we better say something right.
That's right.
We better say something to challenge you.
Fasting is an effective weapon against Satan. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to talk about today. So those are part of life that are necessary. And you can put your own parameters on it. Dave and I aren't going to tell you when to start your fast or exactly where the limits are. You decide that for yourself. Just make sure that you do it as a part of your life. It's important.
Look at what it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. The wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto the wise counsels. Your mentor should be your greatest source.
That's exactly right.
Of strength.
Well spoken. Proverbs says a lot of things like that are very wise. You just cited one from the first chapter. There's one from chapter 18 also about your speaking and what you're saying. The words of faith build you up in the spirit. Faith talk is explosive. That's from the 18th chapter of Proverbs. And that's very important. Singing. Boy, we talked about singing a lot. Didn't we just do that a week or two ago? Singing creates a climate that Satan cannot tolerate. Songs of worship and praise dispels the demonic spirit. As Saul discovered that when David played the harp. Remember reading that in 1 Samuel? So singing is another way to overcome some of these struggles that the devil might put in your path. You're sharing. Your prayers are very important. Pray constantly. Don't give up. It's very wise for you to initiate the prayer But you may participate in prayer activity wherever you might be or whoever might start it. Do not be bashful. Ask the Lord for guidance and ask Him for encouragement and ask Him for leadership and ask Him to satisfy your needs. Jesus is there to help you. So make sure you're sharing with a time of prayer. How about in your seed sowing? Sowing creates partnerships with God that involves Him in your adversity. When you have difficulties in your life, and we've all had them, bring them like your tithe before the storehouse that you might be able to share with one another. Sowing seeds and sowing the good news is just something that we've all got to be part of. If you're going to share the good news with family and friends, make sure you're doing it in a positive light. The significance in our sharing in prayer time and sowing the seeds with one another is probably one of our greatest assets. Malachi has written a lot of information about that in the third chapter. He says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." So you have to sow the positive seeds. Be generating good words and good enthusiasm, and your activities have to be that are godly in nature. David, we only have a few minutes left, and I know you always have a strong finish that you'd like to share about some of our words today. Our people are trying to overcome the adversities that Satan will throw in front of them, and we try to give them some tips on some do's and don'ts. Would you share some effective thoughts that you might have on your own accord that you might want to share with our listeners today on this subject?
I like Christmas. We have a small group in our church that Judy and I are in charge of, about 35 people, something like that, sometimes more, sometimes less. This year, like last year, we decided to pick a family in the church that was a very needy family for everything. No groceries, no clothes, no money. And we went through our church looking and found a family, a wife who had lost her husband in a divorce, and she's raising the three children. It's a struggle, and especially at Christmas. And so this Sunday at 6 o'clock, we are having our small group, and we're bringing this family to our home, and our gang is going to just unload on them.
Wow.
Clothes, food, presents, things that we thought maybe they'd like to have and wouldn't buy because they don't have enough money. I treasure Sunday evening.
Oh, yes, I guess, too.
To see the face light up, to see the tear that will probably roll down Mom's eye. I can already tell that's what happened.
Sure, it is. And that's God's grace.
The peace of God will come to that family and go home blessed. There's no amount of living that can exceed that.
That's right.
That can produce what families really need. We probably could have picked up a dozen families at our church and say, hey, let's try to do all. You can't do all 12.
You can't do it all.
But you can pick one.
That's right.
We're getting a bang for our dollar by just saying, hey, we're going to shorten the struggle of your stress and the things that go so wrong at Christmas. You wake up on Christmas morning with tears rolling down your face and you wonder, what's this Christmas all about? I am so totally out of it. I don't have anything to give and I don't have anything to get.
Yeah.
So I think we ought to be helping families to learn how to give to each other. Not just your own. Don't be so selfish as to give just to your family. Reach out to someone else.
Someone that you don't know.
And to share a special treat.
I like your spirit, Dave. I've always said that about Cumberland Valley Christian Radio. We here at WPFG can't cure the whole world's problems. We just can't. That would be wonderful if we could. But you know something? We can touch our part. We can do something to save our people here in our central Pennsylvania community. We can do something to help this good old world we live in become a better place to be. And if that means we have to encourage our listeners to overcome the obstacles that the devil put before us, that's fine. If it means that we have to celebrate our Christmas by helping those who are less fortunate than us, well, that's fine. If it means that we have to step out of our comfort zone and place a meaningful gift in front of other people, well, then that's fine. So whatever it is that the Lord leads us to do, we collectively have to do that. That's what makes this good old world worth living in. People helping people. Christmas all year round. That's what the Christian faith is all about. Jesus did that for you. He did it for me. He does it for everybody who is willing to admit their shortcomings and accept him into their hearts. Jesus is there for them. This lesson that we talked about today, the obedience with living within the Word, following eternal salvation, overcoming the obstacles that the devil throws in front of us, if we all live by those principles, this world will be a better place to live. David, we've exhausted our time. We have to say goodbye for now. I hope our listeners have a wonderful holiday season. Merry Christmas, one and all.
Good to be with you, Giff. God bless you. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.